While the van's packing up and sitting down, I'll just tell you, I'm going to talk today about worry. And so come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest. It goes, I know when you leave here today, you're not going to stop worrying. I know that. I don't know that I'm going to stop worrying, although I've gotten better at that. But if we can remember a few things that God speaks to us today through the message, maybe, just maybe, we'll get some help with some of the problems. That's the title of the message, What is Your Problem? First, I want to tell you, I talked about this a little bit in Bible study on Thursday. When I was on my spiritual retreat 2 weeks ago, I went to Bethany Beach by myself for about 4 days. And I did something at Bethany Beach that I've never done, and that is I got up early, very early, as a matter of fact, and drove myself to the water to watch the sunrise. If you've never done that, and a lot of people have, you know, I just have missed out on that. If you've never done that, that time of day and that particular place in the ocean is a great time and a great place to commune with God. And so I drove myself down there. When I first started to walk along the shore, the tide was out so I could walk. I was completely alone in the pre-dawn light. There wasn't a soul on the beach but me. And it was still relatively dark. There was a little bit of light cracking so that I could at least see where I was going. But there was a crescent moon hanging up in the sky that was a witness to what was about to transpire. And the sound of the surf just energizes me and energized my soul. Before too long, though, there were colors of purple and magenta that were appearing on the sky. I tried to take a picture. It really didn't do it justice, but that purple and red created a royal blue hue on the ocean that was really something to see. Some of you are shaking your head, so you've been there and done that, and you know what I'm talking about. As more daylight appeared, well, it was orange, and there was pink, and there was gold, and it was light enough that as I walked, I was able to see shells, literally see shells. I had been bemoaning the fact that there aren't shells on the beach like there were when I was a kid. Now, I don't know where I think God puts the shells, but there just didn't seem like there were shells, and lo and behold, I found shells, and I have a few of them out there in my office. But the thing that really attracted me, and this is what I said in Bible study, was that there were 4 seagulls that were in the surf, you know, right on the shoreline, and as the surf would retreat, they would forage for the food. You can see them. I took a picture of them. But they would forage for whatever the hand of God provided. And the Holy Spirit impressed upon me 2 scriptures, and I want to share them with you this morning. And the first scripture that came to my mind was a Psalm of David, Psalm 8, where David said, "When I consider your heavens and the works of your fingers, the sun and the moon that you have set into place," actually he said the stars, but the sun's a star, "the sun and the moon that you have set in place, who am I that you would think to share this with me?" is literally what he says. And I thought, yeah, who am I that you would share all of this quietness and this beauty and this grandeur with me? But he does. And the second thing that I thought about was, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't put into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. And if your Heavenly Father feeds the birds that literally do nothing to get the food, won't he do so much more for you? Oh, you little faith, aren't you more important than birds are? And I thought, wow, I don't know. I guess I am. I guess you are. Look at the birds. And then Jesus goes on to say, so why worry? There's the question. There's the question of the sermon. So why worry? And in the Greek, it means what has you anxious? What keeps you up at night? What distracts you from trusting that all will be well? And the New Living Translation concludes, "Your Heavenly Father already knows all of your needs, so seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need." He will give you everything you need. And is it true? Is that true? And I thought, well, it's in the Word of God, and so that means God's staking his reputation on it and his character on it. It must be. And Paul takes that teaching of Jesus and he says to the Philippian church in verse 19 of chapter 4, "You can be sure of this, God will take care of everything you need, his generosity exceeding yours in the glory that pours from Jesus." his generosity exceeding what you can give in the generosity and the glory of Jesus. Now, I want you to notice something. I want you to notice those two scriptures, Matthew 6:36 and Philippians 4:19, say that God will meet our needs. Our needs, not our wants necessarily. I mean, I said to the church upstairs, I've wanted a motorcycle. I never got one. I don't expect to get one at this stage of the game. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there are things that you want. Christmas is coming. The stores are already ready for you. And it's like, oh, I want that. I want that. But it says God will take care of your needs. He will do it. Doesn't say that he might do it. It says he will do it. And he will meet all of your needs, not some of your needs, not most of your needs, not most of my needs. So why do we worry about anything? And I'm sitting there writing my message and I'm analyzing this a little bit and I'm thinking, well, why do I worry? And I've come to a conclusion about me. I won't say it's true for you, but it's not fun to think about, but here's what it is. I worry because I have control issues. And I worry, some of you are shaking your head, I worry because I have trust issues. You worry because you have control issues and trust issues. Let's look at control. Whenever I worry and I have control issues, I'm basically saying I'm in this all by myself. I've got to take care of it. It all depends on me. Now, in some situations, there's an element of truth to that. There are certain situations that absolutely depend on you and depend on me and they depend on us to be invested. For example, if I'm going to school tomorrow and there's a test and I don't crack the books this afternoon or look over the notes, I probably should worry. They're thinking, how did he know? I'll tell you how I know. In my entire college career, I only ever took one class, pass-fail. Sam, just one class, pass-fail. And I took it my senior year, my last semester on campus, and it was a gen ed class that I should have done when I was a freshman. It was a biology class, and I should have done it when I was a freshman, and I put it off. That was a mistake. The class, the only class I could get, met at 8 o'clock in the morning 3 days a week. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8 a.m. This was in the dead of winter at Penn State. I had a health issue. I had senioritis. And for the life of me, I could not find the motivation at 7 o'clock in the morning, those days, to crawl out of a warm bed, to bundle up, to go out in State College frigid weather and walk the mile to the science building. And so most days, I didn't go. Now, on the day of the final exam, I want to tell you, I guessed my whole way through that thing. It was multiple choice. Have you ever heard the old adage, if you don't know, write C? Yeah. I wrote a lot of C's. And when the exam was over, we were told, that was at 8 in the morning, we were done at 9 o'clock, we were told at 4 o'clock that afternoon our final grade would be on the science room door, whether we passed, failed, or whether we got A, B, C's, or D's. I walked in that frigid climate 1 mile to get my final grade to find out if I passed. And even though it was bitter cold, I sweat profusely. I just did. Now, here's the question. Do you think I should have worried? We cannot expect God to supply our need when we are not invested ourselves. I cannot expect God to take my test and pass it when I'm not invested myself. But worry, for the most part, is just a consequence of my need, your need to be in control. It's going to get done. It's going to have to get done by me. If it's going to be done, I have to do it myself. Look, I'm going to tell you something biblically. It's never gotten done by you. I don't care what you have today, your house, your car, your bank account. I don't care what you've ever achieved in life. I don't care what you've ever experienced in life, the kids that you've had, the places you've been, the people that have come along your path. It was never about you. They all came from the hand of somebody who is greater than you and I. James 1:17 in the New International Version says, every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. I'm going to come back to that scripture in a minute. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. And every time I worry, I'm essentially saying I need to control this myself. And every time I worry, I need to say, I don't trust you with the outcome. Which brings me to the question, what are you worried about? What's your biggest problem today? It would be interesting if we had time just to say, tell me. But I thought of some things that you might say. You might say, I'm worried about my health. You might say, I'm worried about getting older and being alone or being a burden. You might say, I'm worried about my finances. I'm worried about my debt. You might say, I'm worried, truthfully, about being a victim, going to the mall, a shooting, a violent crime, an accident. I'm worried about the state of our nation. I'm worried about the state of our world. You know, I want to tell you, healthy concern is good. A little bit of healthy worry will keep you motivated. But to be anxious and out of sorts, and this is what's hard for us to get across, to be anxious and out of sorts, some of you are going to come to the door and say, I just can't help myself. Yeah, I know. But can I tell you, it isn't biblical. To be anxious is not biblical. Jesus says, which one of you by worrying can add 1 hour to your life? Which one of you by worrying can change the outcome of what you fear is going to happen? Which one of you can alter the course of things simply by worrying? And 2 Corinthians 9:10, Paul says, he who supplies the seed to the farmer and bread on the table will faithfully supply your storehouse and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the table will faithfully supply your storehouse and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. By the way, I forgot to tell the people upstairs, and I almost forgot to tell you, did I pass? I did. By 1 point. I passed by 1 point. Hey, baby, that's all I needed. I passed. 1 point. What need won't our Father supply? Now, again, if you're not invested in it, God can't really get that invested in it. I've said that, but I just want to remind me that I said that. And number two, it may be a motorcycle. It may be a house in the Bahamas. It may be a lot of things, but that's a want. What is your true need? Your true need is where your Father, my shepherd, will supply my need. Rick Warren, author of The Purpose-Driven Life and the senior pastor of Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, says that our biggest problem, our greatest need, is the fact that we can't save ourselves. I'm going to let that just sink in a minute. My biggest problem is I can't save myself. My biggest need is I need saved, and I can't do it myself. No matter how much money I have, no matter who my friends are, no matter how many commandments I keep, no matter how many times I come to church or the committees that I serve on or who my family is, if I didn't already say that, or the influence that I wield and the good person I am, I cannot save myself, which is why God sent Jesus, his son, to take our place on a cross and pay for our sins. That's why Jesus came. That's why Christmas is coming. Emmanuel, God with us. Now listen, Rick Warren says, if God loved you enough that he couldn't stand that you couldn't be with him in heaven, and he sent his only begotten son to meet your need of salvation, what need do you have he won't meet? If he loved you enough to do that, your health, your finances, your family relationships, your temper, your language, if he met your spiritual need by sending his only son, won't he meet your need as you bring it to him? Warren says, look, it really comes down to a question of, do I trust that God will do what he promises or not? And listen, you're not going to quit worrying after this sermon. I know that. We have a daughter who's an habitual worrier. An habitual worrier. I have talked myself, my wife has talked herself till we're blue in the face, saying, honey, relax. Honey, don't beat up on yourself. Honey, don't put the cart before the horse. Honey, it probably isn't going to happen anyway. Honey, and but if you can just remember, number one, it's not biblical, and number two, God will do what he promises. It's a question of, do I trust it or not? When you catch yourself worrying, say, do I trust it or not? I'm going to leave you with these challenges, and this is what I want us to do. I include me. Number one, make the choice today to be faithful. When you get up tomorrow morning and you greet the new day, say, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to believe I'm not alone. I'm going to believe I have a higher power. I'm going to be faithful. Number two, make the choice to rely on the Father of the heavenly lights. I told you I'd come back to it. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of the heavenly lights. Make a choice to rely on him, not your Capital One card. See, that commercial asked the wrong question. What's in your wallet? The question is, what's in God's wallet? Make the choice to be, number three, content to wait. And that's probably where I struggle the most. Wait until he works. Wait until he works. Make the choice to trust that his ways are better than yours. And most importantly, make the choice that you're going to give your biggest problem over to the one that's bigger than it is. Okay? But what I really want you to get out of this sermon is, I'm going to make the choice to be faithful, and I'm going to trust. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the promise of the Father's faithfulness in all things. We may never obtain all that we want, you know, the material things. We may not get all that we want. We may not ever get all of the time that we want. We may not ever get the apologies that we want because time has passed and things have become beyond our reach. Some people are no longer with us, and, you know, we can't reverse the clock and turn it back. But our deepest needs, what we truly need spiritually, what we truly need materially, what we truly need physically, mentally, we will be met because God has promised it, and his character, his reputation are depending on it. Therefore, we don't have to fear, we don't have to doubt, and we don't have to wring our hands. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto us. Amen.